It's Tuesday, and welcome to Tiltcast Shorts, the podcast where we once redirected hackers to embarrassing adult content. I'm Nas.
I'm Rusty.
I'm Jason.
And the three of us, we aren't going to do any hacking, because that's not what we do. But we do have some hacker stories that have happened recently. Has anybody here heard of King Crimson? We're not talking about King Crimson. We're talking about Crimson Collective. If you guys have followed any tech news for a long time, King Crimson a long time ago breached Red Hat. And I think everybody here probably knows what Red Hat is, right? More or less? Sort of?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, there was a DDoS attack on October 6th. So just kind of out of the blue, it was like between 11 and 2, I want to say. Anyways, yeah, at 11 p.m. Eastern time, there was a DDoS attack that affected several different things. It affected Steam. It affected League of Legends, and it affected Nintendo, which is pretty huge. Like, you think about it, like, how often does Steam get DDoS attacked?
All the time.
Yeah, but for very long?
Not for long, no. It's...
They have pretty good protections against a lot of that nowadays. Used to, like, affect their service more often, but rarely does it actually affect any downtime anymore.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I couldn't even find a reason why. Like, I think it was just to say they could, but, like, they took down several game services all at the same time. And it just doesn't seem to make any sense. But it is crazy.
It does.
Yeah, you're looking at, like, Down Detector, like, literally going through several of these different sites. Like, it just all went down all at the same time. They were saying it went out through AirSuru botnet, which is, I guess, one of the other really high-volume DDoS attack, systems that's out there. But, yeah, like, there's just not a – it's still really vague as to why they did it. Now, I feel like this stuff's pretty illegal, right?
Well, yeah, DDoS itself, yeah, I mean, if you get caught, yes, it's got there's a lot of issues with how it's being charged, though, because it's generally this group, it is a group of people, and it's distributed over multiple machines and botnets. So how do you pin it on a person? Like, how do you, how would you prosecute? You can't.
I mean, don't you pin it on the person who started it or the people that started it?
And the thing is if you're running, if you're running a botnet and you're running this type of attack, you're pretty good at staying anonymous. So it's hard to find, and it's hard to prosecute. That's why, in the IT space, instead of preventing these things from happening, there's mitigation from having it cause issues with your service. So instead of, like, retaliation, it's defense. And you have to play defense against DDoS attacks because of the way that it is. It can be coming from any direction, from any number of sources, and you have to filter out the bad from the legitimate traffic. Because during that same time, people were trying to get into Nintendo, into Steam, be able to play their games. So that was legit traffic.
Yeah, and it wasn't just them. It's basically all major gaming platforms, right? Like I said, I did say initially it was Nintendo and Steam, but Xbox Live, PlayStation Network, and Epic Games Store, as well as Valorant games, League of Legends, were all down during that time. And when you're talking about mitigation, Valorant went through and disabled ranked matches during that time. So which is smart.
I mean, that's to protect their, protect the ranks of their, you know, their users. That basically is just a way of saying, hey, we know that this is going to, you know, this would normally affect your win-loss ratios, especially in ranked. So basically from the time that, you know, the time the attack started to, you know, the time that we know that we've got this, you know, the thing locked down, that's not going to affect your rank. Which, I mean, is smart. It's a way of saying, you know, with them saying, hey, we couldn't stop it from happening, but at least the damage is minimal. And, you know, as far as the time that this was down,
it's not a lot of people in the States anyway were gaming after 11 p.m.
Right. You know, it didn't hurt me because I was not gaming, at that time. But these types of things are worldwide, right? So, you know, it's going to affect other people, you know, around the globe, you know, in different ways. The reason, you don't have to have a reason for a DDoS attack. That is one of those things that just happens. And a lot of times, if a group claims responsibility for it, what they're looking to do is say, hey, we can do this.
Right. And I know at least in Nintendo space, they're worried that they've lost some confidential information during that story or during that attack.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's...
Because I can see that. See, a DDoS attack is, you know, there's a couple things that you can, that happens during DDoS. First and most talked about is the denial of service, right?
Right.
Your legitimate traffic is being blocked out because of illegitimate traffic, you know, basically taking up all the bandwidth. The other thing that could happen is they use that as a cover for for an intrusion.
Well, so
they have a tunnel in.
Yeah, there's some screenshots that were leaked from Crimson Collective that were showing screenshots of what could have been internal projects by Nintendo. So there's a little bit more to it in regards to some of this stuff, but I think you're right. Like, it's like flexing your muscle. Plus at the same time, we were also digging in to see what we could find from Nintendo.
I mean, that's one of those things that will happen. I mean, but being an IT professional, I can see it from, you know, I can see it from their IT, you know, the target's IT room perspective, the situation room, because it's happened. But, you know, looking at it from a consumer perspective, it's an inconvenience, and you would think that these big companies would have protections against that. But just like anything, in the computer world, there's always something new that hasn't been thought of yet. And if it hasn't been thought of yet, there isn't protection against it. So, you know, we as IT professionals look at this and be like, okay, what can we do to prevent being a target of this attack? And as a consumer, I was just super happy that I was asleep at the time.
Right. Didn't really affect us one way or the other. We have not historically been kind to Nintendo in the last several years. Doesn't mean that I support this in any way.
Right. I was trying not to say that myself. I was like, well, it couldn't have happened to a worse.
I mean, you know, in a weird twist of irony, though, like, doesn't Nintendo also have the most badass lawyers on the planet? So, like, there's some good that they could do.
I mean, if they had some form of magic bullet to be able to take down a collective like this, by all means.
Yeah, let's enlist the Nintendo Secret Service, since they seem to take their intellectual property so seriously.
my gosh, every time I think of it, every time I think of like Nintendo lawyers, I just imagine like this high rise that's in Tokyo, just like full of lawyers that are all paid by Nintendo. It's just like this dystopian, you know, like black tower of lawyers.
Surrounded by Star Wars stormtroopers.
Right. Yeah, it's just some kind of dystopia. But yeah, it's a big issue. Seeing this kind of attack happen means that it could continue, and whatever they used to make it successful can be distributed to other attackers, right? So there's other things that I worry about from this particular type of attack becoming more prevalent, because it worked.
It's more user data that I'm concerned with.
I mean, if
everybody wants to store your credit card on their system, right? Everybody wants you to store your date of birth, you know, on their system. I mean, there was I won't go into details because I can't remember the exact story, but there was a hack on some gaming service, and because of the UK, going with the story we've been telling for the last few weeks, because they're having to verify themselves with pictures and everything else. There was a bunch of like 70,000 user accounts or something like that that had their pictures and ID information stolen from that system.
I think that was Discord.
Yeah. It was Discord. Yeah.
Yep. So,
but it was UK users, because they're the ones that are having to upload their personal data for age verification everywhere right now.
Right. And that's on, in my opinion, that's on Discord, because all of that information, all of that should have been stored securely on Discord servers, using the same kind of encryption that they would use for password hashes, things like that.
Yeah, and for me, like, Discord has literally just been a communication platform. I don't know why you have to have all this age verification BS.
That's part of all of,
just what took over for
stuff that's going on over in EU. That's kind of weird like that.
Yeah, for me, it's the new Ventrilo / Skype, right? Like, Skype's no longer around, but we were kind of using that a long time ago. Ventrilo, kind of the same thing, right? Discord's just a better version of both of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of both at the same time, plus a chat room. There's a lot of, a lot of similarities there. I can see that. I just look at it from hacking standpoints, and from a consumer standpoint. I worry that this gets out and becomes more prevalent, and to tie into your worry that other bad actors will then start using their own attacks in tandem with this type of DDoS attack that would, that could cause even more chaos. So I hope that doesn't happen. But as with anything, be safe out there. The internet is the Wild West.
Yeah. And then for anybody that's watching or listening, right, let us know what you think. And with that, look for more of our episodes on our website at tiltcast.com. Find us on Spotify and iTunes, and of course, youtube.com/YouTube Shorts with a Z. See you guys on Thursday.